The following sermon was recorded at Compass Bible Church in Naples, Florida. For more information on Compass Bible Church, visit our website at compassnaples.org.
So, what are we celebrating at Easter? At the resurrection, exactly. So, we know that. I would say most people who are in church would probably answer that way. But to be honest, it's pretty amazing how so many people in the world today really have no idea what Easter is about. I would venture there are billions of people who know nothing about Jesus. Maybe they've heard his name, but they really don't know about why he matters. Now, for those of us who do know, that should be a sobering reminder for us of the need to go. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's nowhere else to go. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. So we know that Easter matters, not just for us, but for the world. They just don't know it. But go to Walmart, and you get sort of a different take on Easter, right? If you were from a part of the world that didn't know anything about Jesus, and you got to come to Naples on Easter weekend, and you wanted to find out what was Easter all about, and you went to Walmart, what would you conclude about Easter? There you go. Yeah, exactly. So it gets a little scary. What is that all about? So here's our big idea today. Keep it simple. Not everyone understands why Easter matters. Not everyone understands. Do you, do those that you know, that you love, understand why Easter matters? So Matthew 27, I want to read a few verses, starting in verse 27. Matthew 27, verse 27 says this. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters. They gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. So in the news this week, apparently this crown of thorns that we just read about was kept at the Notre Dame Cathedral. I didn't know that. Not sure if I believe it was the real thing. How many of you been to Notre Dame in Paris? Okay, some of you need to travel a little more and see. Beautiful, amazing place. Very tragic to see it in flames. But the news outlets don't seem to understand why certain things are important, especially now. It's Holy Week, as many call it. So I was watching the news, and the news reporter was talking about how they saved the crown of thorns, right? And they celebrated, wow, we've saved this artifact. But that's as far as it went. We're celebrating the fact that we saved an artifact. We don't even know if it was the real thing. Is that what matters? It's not the thorns that matter. It's who wore it and why he wore it. But these essentials get lost over time, right? This is not a new problem. Jesus came as the promised Messiah 2,000 years ago, and the very religious leaders who should have been looking for him, what did they want done to him? Crucify him. Look at verse 22. Pilate, of all people, a Roman governor, said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" You know what Christ means? The anointed one, the Messiah. It was the term the Jews used for this promised one that they had been looking for and hoping for, asking God to send the Christ. Well, even Pilate knew that the Jews had been hoping and were looking for this Christ and that they were calling Jesus the Christ. So he says, "Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus who's called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." Why? What evil has he done? I mean, Pilate doesn't look so bad. But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." They forgot. The essentials got lost, even on them. But Easter matters in our culture, right? I mean, kids get off school, banks close, YMCA closes. Nobody can work out today. Why? Because it's Easter. But not many truly understand why. Why is that important? Why does it matter? And even for us who believe, who know our Bibles, we can become so familiar with the story that we just take it for granted and we forget why it's so important. I've shared some time ago about my fraternity brother, Dan LeGue, and I've got a picture of Dan up there. Yeah, that's me, I think, with him. A little more hair back in the day. Dan actually led me to faith in Christ when I was in college. He spent many years after that serving as a missionary in different parts of the world. Dan was my best friend. And about 10 years ago, he died from cancer, leaving behind a wife and three young boys. So talk about when life doesn't make sense, right? It's one of those things in life that I have had to surrender to God. I have to remember what we've been saying the last 4 weeks, to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing, that he has a purpose even in things like that, that God's ways are not our ways. It's not about us and our plans. It's about him and his plans, and they're for the good. We have to remember that. So if you're in a hard time, you're struggling with some things you don't understand, we need to remember those things. But I'll never forget this story that Dan told me. One time in his missionary adventures, he was on a team showing the Jesus film in a remote part of Africa. Do you know about these Jesus film teams? I think we got a picture of, this is an example, there in Africa. So these teams would have all the equipment they need to go to these very remote locations, you know, no running water, no electricity, nothing. They have generators. And they set up the screen like you can see in the movie. And this film, the Jesus film, has been translated into more than 1,400 languages. It's incredible. For most people, it's the only film ever in their language. And for most people, it's the only film they have ever seen. So you can imagine the excitement when a team arrives in a village. And they set up the screen, they wait until dark, the show begins. I mean, the people are captured by this screen with people on it talking in their own language. I mean, we take this for granted. This is the first time these people have ever seen anything like this. And they're watching this film about the story of the life and message of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. Well, Dan told me this story that as the film unfolded, and the story was playing out. Jesus was betrayed, and then he was crucified. And the people watching the film actually started throwing rocks at the screen. They were so outraged at what was happening to Jesus. And they were angry, and they were throwing rocks at the screen, shouting for them to stop. But then he said, when Jesus died, I mean, this is a movie. Okay, the crowd is weeping. They're just weeping. They were crushed. Dan said he had never experienced anything like that in his life, and it had a profound impact on the way he viewed Easter. It changed him. Well, sometimes, we just need something to wake us up, wake us up out of the familiar, because really that's our problem today. These things are just so familiar with us. We've heard the story time and time and time again, and we just let it go in one ear and out the other. We need to remember why Easter matters. Not everyone understands why. So this morning, we're just going to review some Easter essentials, okay? Let me pray. Lord, forgive us when we allow something so important as your crucifixion, as your resurrection, to become so familiar to us that we take it for granted. Lord, thank you for what you did to change eternity, to completely change our future for all who believe. Help us to see why it matters, Lord, not just for us, but for everyone. Amen. So to get the full Easter experience, don't go to Walmart, all right? You need to know this. First, there is bad news, all right? So always ask for the bad news first. Got some good news, got some bad news. I don't know why we ask which one do you want. The bad news is there is a problem in the world. There's a problem between man and his creator. Goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Man has sinned. We've gone our own way. And this sin has separated us from God. Romans 3:23 says, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of our sin, the penalty, what we deserve for that is death. You were created to know God, but your sin, my sin, all of our sin has separated us from him. So this is the eternal longing of our hearts. Something's happened. Something's broken. Something's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find the rest in thee. Pascal, brilliant scientist, said, inside the heart of every man, there is this God-shaped hole. It's a vacuum. Cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. So we try to fill that hole with all kinds of things in life. Good things, created things, but they don't fill. Square peg, it's a round hole. There's an obstacle between you and God, whether you know it or not, and you'll never understand Easter unless you understand the bad news, that we have a serious problem. And there's an amazing event. It's part of the Easter story that I want to point out that illustrates this. So back to the text, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45, talking about the death of Jesus. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Okay, so the way they kept time back then, it began at 6 a.m. So the sixth hour was actually noon. So it's from when the sun would come up, essentially. So from noon until the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m., darkness. Not normal. This was miraculous. 3 hours of darkness in the middle of the day. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice in Aramaic. He says, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which that is means, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22. And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He said, it is finished. And he died. Verse 51, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Can you imagine? When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I mean, it sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, you know? And I mean, they've made movies about this, and it really actually happened. It's history. And Matthew includes this very interesting fact in verse 51 that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So why did this happen? And why does Matthew include it? Because you need to know the bad news. Here's the obstacle. You ready? There's a curtain between you and God. And the curtain in this story here that Matthew's talking about was this elaborately woven curtain which separated the holy place of the Jewish temple from the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. There's a picture, I think you can kind of see an artist's rendition in the temple. There was this thick curtain that separated the holy place. So this Holy of Holies, this is the place where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. How many people saw Raiders of the Lost Ark? All right. So it's that box, all right, that contained the Ten Commandments and other artifacts symbolizing God's promises with the Jewish people. Aaron's rod that budded to show that he was the appointed leader. It contained a jar of the manna that God had fed them in the wilderness. So listen, artifacts can actually have significant meaning to help remind us of something, but it's to remind us why it matters. It's not to celebrate the artifact. We got the crown of thorns. What is it? I don't know, but isn't this great? No. Okay, they point us to something important. We don't worship the artifact, but the one who wore it. And why? Because we have a problem. There's bad news. We're separated. And it was here in the temple, in this room, behind that curtain, called the Holy of Holies, that God promised to meet his people. It was a visible sign, a place of God's presence, a promise, but not everyone could enter the Holy of Holies. Okay, so there's this veil, this curtain that sealed it off. It represented the fact that we are separated. You can't just go in. Our sin has cut us off. So in the Old Testament, there's this elaborate system of sacrifices, of regulations for worship. And really, these laws, in fact, the temple itself, the way it was designed, was meant to communicate to the people that they were separated from God, that sin had cut them off. There was a need for a Savior. So we read in Hebrews 9 that there was only one person who could actually go behind the curtain. It was the high priest. How many times a year do you think he could go in? One time a year, on the Day of Atonement. So the high priest would prepare himself by offering a sacrifice for himself and then for all the people. The sacrifices, the shedding of blood was to show that there was a need for death, for blood, to pay the penalty of sin. It was a visible reminder that they needed forgiveness. They couldn't approach God any way they wanted to. It's really amazing as you read those books in the Old Testament that describe all the regulations. It can be exhausting, but the message God is not sending them is this. He's not saying, okay, do all of these things and you'll be okay. do all of this stuff and you're good. That's not the message that's being communicated, because as soon as they completed the sacrifice and walked away from the temple, what did they need to start doing again? I need to find another sacrifice, and I got to do it again, and I got to do it again, and I got to do it again. He did all of this to help them see their need for a Savior. So you have to come to grips with the bad news. Your sin has separated you from God, and this is a problem. It's why the crucifixion matters. You don't get Easter without Good Friday. It's called Good Friday because Jesus actually paid your penalty. All right, so you've got to understand the bad news. But to get the full Easter experience, you have to also know this. There is good news, right? The curtain was torn. As Jesus hung on the cross, darkness covered the land from 12 to 3. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as the sin of all the world was laid on him, my sin, your sin, he cried out, it is finished. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Where did it start? Top to bottom. Now, this was not a small thing. We learned from a Jewish historian, his name's Josephus, that this curtain was actually about 4 inches thick. I mean, 4-inch thick curtain woven together. I mean, they said horses tied to each side could not tear this curtain apart. But at the very moment of Christ's death, it was torn from top to bottom. Who tore it? God tore it. The Holy of Holies was now exposed, as though God were saying, you can now come in. All are welcome. Come into my presence. Jesus paid the price for your sins to be forgiven. This is the good news. And after Jesus' resurrection, besides these amazing things that we just read in Matthew 27 that happened, it says that because the resurrection of Jesus was an undeniable fact, hundreds of people saw him. Thousands of people came to faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read this. Many Jewish priests also trusted Christ. It says, the word of God continued to increase. The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Why? Why would Jewish priests come to faith in Jesus? Where did the priests work? In the temple. What did God do to the curtain? Tore it. They saw that, and they believed. 4-inch curtain torn from top to bottom the moment Jesus died. They got the message loud and clear. And if anybody knew the futility of the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, who do you think knew better than anyone else? Priests. It's not doing anything. I know we were told to do this, but we just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Rip. That's really good news. But it's really only good news if you fully grasp the bad news. So you're really only grateful if someone pays your parking ticket, if you knew you had a parking ticket, right? Hey, I paid your parking ticket. Didn't know I had one. Bad illustration, okay? Parking tickets, no big deal. But you don't really appreciate if somebody has done something for you if you didn't know you had a problem. And that's part of our problem today. Many people don't realize they're so separated from God. They don't feel close to him, but they don't realize how serious that separation is. They don't understand why Easter matters. Bad news, there's a curtain, represents separation. The good news, curtain was torn. God was sending a message, the way is now open. But there's also a third news, and that is there's urgent news. There's urgent news because of this. There's a decision to be made. You have to believe in Jesus so that you can know God. There was a curtain that was torn so that through Jesus, you can know God. Now, the meaning behind this entire scenario is pictured beautifully in Hebrews chapter 10. So let's leave Matthew, turn to the right and get to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. The author has just explained the significance of Christ's death for us, and now he sums it up this way. The access for all men and women to enter into God's presence is no longer blocked by this woven curtain, by this need for animal sacrifices. That's done, not needed anymore. But the curtain has not been eliminated. It has been changed. Look at verse 19, Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. The curtain that separates men from God is now the body of Jesus Christ. That's the curtain. You have to pass through him if you want to enter the presence of God. So the room in the temple has completely lost its significance. It's not needed anymore. That's not where worship happens. Jesus explained that in John 4. True worship is in the spirit and it's in truth. And through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, all your sins can be forgiven. The way to pass through that curtain into the presence of God is simply through faith. You must believe. Okay, so this is urgent news. This is why the crucifixion matters. He had to die. The wages or the payment of sin is death. Nothing less would do. Why did Jesus have to die on a cross? I mean, try asking that question to some people this weekend. I mean, it's Easter. It would be a very natural thing to do. Hey, you know, what do you know about Easter? Why do you think Jesus had to die on a cross? I'm just curious. Not trying to convince you of anything. Just ask to see what they would answer. The payment for sin is death, okay? There is bad, bad news. But it's also why the resurrection matters. He conquered death. So here's our response, the decision that has to be made. It's very clear. It's right there in Hebrews 10, and we're just going to walk through it. First thing that has to happen, the urgent news that we need to respond to is enter in. We have to enter in. We have to come to Jesus. Look at verses 19 to 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. So when there's an invitation to enter in, to come, you have to make that decision to come. I mean, that's something you choose to do. There's nowhere else you can go to get this. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But isn't it amazing the invitation here? You can enter with confidence. So back to that illustration of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year. They would actually tie a rope around him when he went in because nobody else could go in there. And if he didn't get everything exactly right, what would happen to him? He'd die. Now, if he's in the room behind the curtain, they're like, oh, no. Who's going to go in and get him? Well, nobody, because we'll die if we go in there. So they tied a rope around him. So how do you think the high priest felt going through that curtain? Thanks for the confidence, guys. You know, you got a rope tied around me. What do you think's going to happen? We don't know. But you got the job. No confidence whatsoever. But the blood of Jesus does the job perfectly. It says, since we have confidence to enter, you don't need a rope tied around you. But you have to choose to enter in. You have to choose to believe. Second thing, our response is draw near. Look at starting in verse 21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near to God. So enter in by faith. But now that you've entered in, draw near. Come close. Walk with God with a true heart, knowing that you're loved not because of your performance, not because you're so great and you've done wonderful things. It's because you've been washed by Jesus. I mean, it's good news that the curtain is torn, but it doesn't do anything unless you enter in and you draw near. You know, it's almost as though some people want to just slip inside the curtain and then hide. You know, they don't want to get close to God. They just didn't want to go to hell, okay? But they're glad to be inside the curtain. You know, it's like getting into the Ritz-Carlton Easter buffet and then hiding behind the door with your bologna sandwich. Well, what's the point? You know, lean in, taste and see, come enjoy, draw near is the invitation. Third thing, our response is hold fast. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So once you've entered in, you're drawing near. What did we talk about recent weeks? Sometimes the road gets rough. Sometimes there's some surprising things that we don't understand that happen. Circumstances change, challenges that are difficult, storms of life. So what he's saying is, trust me. He wants us to look to him and trust him. Hold fast to his promises. Don't waver in your convictions. There's nowhere else to go. God's word is trustworthy and true. Jesus is God. He is Lord. He is faithful. So hold fast. Enter in. Draw near. Hold fast. Fourth thing is stir up. Verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So Jesus made the way for us to come to God, but he did it so that we would do it in community with others, in the church. We're to stir one another up. Another translation says to spur one another on. Any people that ride horses here, ever ridden a horse? A spur, okay? What does it do to a horse? It's its attention, right? A little painful. And so in one another's lives, we need somebody who will spur us on. I mean, do you have people in your life who know you well enough, who care about you enough, give you a little kick? You know, hey, what are you doing? Don't do that. It's not good for you. Who are you spurring on? Who have you actually given permission to spur you on? If you see me doing some stupid stuff, will you please kick me? You know, give people permission to do that. Spurring on to love and good deeds. Spurring on to keep meeting together. You know, don't neglect it. It says, as is the habit of some. Habits are huge in our lives. Meeting together, it's a discipline. It's a habit that has to be nurtured. And then spurring on to encourage one another. I mean, all of life is building towards a climax, right? History is actually leading somewhere. And we know from God's word, and it says it right here, all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know what day it's talking about? Jesus is coming again. It's going to happen. And we need to be ready. We need to help one another be ready. We need to not be complacent. We need to not just let things become so familiar. Day turns into day, and we just forget. We need to spur one another on to love and good deeds, encouraging one another to do that. I need others helping me to do that. So why does Easter matter? Why does it matter? Why does the crucifixion matter? Because there was a curtain. There was separation from God because of sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid that penalty that we owed. And God tore the curtain from top to bottom so that now through Jesus, we can know God. Through faith in him, through his blood that was shed, we can now enter in. We can draw near to him. He invites us into his mission. He loves us enough to help us grow. And he allows certain things in our lives that we wouldn't choose, but he does it to test us, to grow us, to help us. And we need one another. We have to hold fast, but we need to stir up one another in those times. So here's my encouragement this Easter 2019. Lean in, friends. Don't lean out. Don't cross your arms and, well, we'll just see here. Lean in. Don't just enter in. Don't hide behind the door with your bologna sandwich, all right? Enter in. Draw near. Be with others to help you hold fast, to stir you up. And let's do that with one another. And in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, I want to read this together. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. God brought us here for a reason, friends. He's not done, and he's doing it to display his wisdom and for his glory. Amen? Let me pray. Well, Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. Thanks for these reminders as we open your word. That first Easter, not just the resurrection, Lord, but the reason why you had to be resurrected, because you had to die. Remind us, Lord, why you had to die. It's because there was a hole in our hearts. We'd been separated from you because of our own sin. Lord, thanks for loving us enough, even when we were opposed to you, so that we also could have that life that you gave when you rose from the grave. We say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Lord, we celebrate that because we know we also are risen in you. So Lord, thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.